Colleagues and friends, I'm deeply honoured to address you here today at our 43rd SDLP conference. We're gathered for our conference in the middle of a challenging three-year election cycle and a talks process that we hope will get us out of the political gridlock. I want to talk to you today about better politics, a fairer society, a more productive economy, and a new SDLP poised for government in the 21st century. Let's be frank with ourselves. Expectations for the current talks are very low. When I talk to people in their communities, in their homes, in their sports halls, and in their workplace, people want the Assembly to work. They want Stormont to work. They want the government to work. And they want ministers, government ministers, to work together. People want the Assembly to deliver. They want change for the better, change that they can rely on. But it isn't happening. As things stand, Sinn Féin and the DUP do not, cannot, and will not work constructively together. We don't have partnership in government. We have a self-serving partisan gridlock. So if we look beyond the nuts and bolts of what these talks are about, because no matter what the agenda is, if there's no willingness to work together, then real agreement won't happen. So what, you may ask, are we bringing to the talks? In the talks, we're putting people's real needs first. We have listened to you and hundreds of others across the country. We know what you want us to do and where you want us to get to. You have told us that you want a comprehensive settlement of all the outstanding issues. You want to fix the broken Stormont system. You want Northern Ireland to work and create prosperity. You want us to make it work for all our people. You want to make it work at maximum efficiency so that we can deliver opportunities for all our people, particularly our young people. The SDLP approach is built on putting the real needs of people above party self-interest. And that has been, is now, and always will be our approach. We are sharing our analysis in the talks of where the positive changes might be to the way Stormont works within the structures of the Good Friday Agreement. We have ensured that the Irish government is fully re-engaged with the process from day one. We are promoting partnership in government while others are pointing fingers. We're putting forward credible solutions where other parties are listing their problems. When the DUP said no to having the Irish government located in Parliament buildings at Stormont, it was a farce, because the Irish government met with the SDLP and other parties in Parliament buildings within a few hours. We made room for them, and Charlie Flanagan, the Foreign Minister, and his team are welcome in Stormont, and they're very welcome to stay there as long as they need. In the talks, we're asking the other parties and the two governments to return to the principles of the Haas talks on the past, on parades and on flags, where a reasonable compromise was reached last New Year's Eve. As long as those key issues remain unresolved, they will poison and further destabilise our political system. It will hold back our whole society. The models for resolution are in place, but they require a major degree of goodwill, genuine partnership, and honourable compromise in order to achieve the lasting solution. Where, I will ask you, do you see the leaders in unionism who will attempt to see the parading problem in North Belfast through the eyes of beleaguered residents? When will everyone agree on a method to deal with the past that keeps the needs of victims and survivors at its heart? I can reassure you that the SDLP will stay in those talks as long as agreement is possible, exploring every opportunity for a positive outcome. We will reach out and cooperate with others on all the issues of genuine public concern and the public need for change. If other parties share our aspirations, then all the better. We will work with them to deliver an outcome. Conference. In the talks, there is some focus on the structures of government and how it could be improved on. As things stand, there is no official role for an opposition within the Stormont structures. But we will argue for a properly structured opposition place to be put in place in future years, resourced and allowed proper space and time on the floor of the Assembly, and allocated a share of the staff resources and places on committees. But in the meantime, if other parties don't get to grips with their responsibilities and we can settle on an agreed way forward, then we reserve the right to operate from a position of constructive opposition. The present structures do not stop us from opposing bad legislation or highlighting the flaws and problems with the two bigger parties, nor do they stop us from saying no, and we will say no when required. No, we will not be part of a broken and politically bankrupt executive. If it doesn't get its act together, the opposition cannot simply be a one-day wonder, though, where we walk away and adopt some sort of abstentionist role that could only result in even more ministerial seats and more authority and more power to do damage being handed to the problem parties. Opposition has to have clear definition and serve the public interest, but it's an option we reserve. We will review it on an ongoing basis, and we will evaluate on a week-to-month-to-month basis. The talks agenda has been weighed down with the latest budgetary problems, which go way beyond the penalties imposed because of welfare reform. We have all known the severe cuts we're now grappling with were heading our way since 2011. Why was it that no long-term planning by the two problem parties, the DUP and Sinn Féin, took place? Why in 2014 do we have a crisis around a growing budgetary problem that we've known about for the last 4 years? The SDLP, in dealing with the budget, will put people's needs first. We will work for a fair budget that has maximum impact on job creation and growth and sets out to rebalance the economy. Our idea of a good budget is one that focuses on creating jobs, improving healthcare, and providing better education opportunities for our children. We won't accept anyone's financial analysis or financial figures without question, whether it's George Osborne or Simon Hamilton. We will set up our own think tank of the best brains that we have available locally to dissect future budgets and produce creative alternatives. And I might ask you, where are the creative and progressive ideas going to come from if we and the SDLP don't generate them? The economic anxiety that's out there beyond the budget, it affects all of us, and is particularly worrying in the North West. There is a deep sense in the North West of a regional imbalance in inward investment projects. The SDLP will work with local business interests in the North West and take appropriate initiatives to tackle the particular economic difficulties faced in Derry and Strabane and Omagh. We will set up local working groups to tackle those challenges, and we will find solutions to the problems, and we will follow through and implement those solutions. In May this year, we fielded a great slate of council candidates across the north. Standing alongside our experienced team of good, long-standing SDLP councillors were many new, young candidates who caught the imagination of the public and were returned to help shape the new super councils. Included among them, and I'm delighted, this we had more female candidates than ever before. We set out to get somewhere in the region of up the gender balance up to about 33-35%. We reached 40%. And I'm delighted, and I want to congratulate those women who came forward and took those seats. While we didn't win as many seats as we had hoped, we can take great satisfaction from the regeneration and renewal of the party. The people who stood in this election this year are the future of this party and indeed the future of Ireland. I am confident that our new councillors, at some stage in the future, will proudly pick up the mantle of John Hume and Seamus Mallon. And Seamus, we're delighted you're here. Eddie McGrady, God. That mantle of Eddie McGrady, God rest him, this is his anniversary at this time, he's died just a year. Austin Curry is with us, very much alive and fit and well, and Austin, we congratulate you and thank you for joining us. But that was the mantle as well of Paddy Duffy and many others who risked everything they had 40 years ago for the civil rights, for peace, for justice, for economic prosperity, and the right to live in an Ireland free from prejudice, sectarianism and violence. On the ground, our new councillors in their council chambers are, like all our elected representatives, applying a simple formula, which is putting people first. Our councillors are putting people's needs first, putting people's hopes first, and putting people's dreams for their children first. I get a tremendous energy when I talk to these new young people and the inspiration from their stories about what they're doing in politics, what drove them to join the SDLP, and what motivated them to stand for election. Today, I'm asking a group of these new young leaders to step forward and help us draw up a strategy for growing our vote right across the North, right across all 18 constituencies. They're the future, and I want them to start scoping out that future. Every one of them and every one of us has our own story, but the principles and values that we share are all the same. We are all here because we share a common ambition for our country. It's built on reconciliation, social justice, a shared prosperity, and a united people on the island of Ireland which accommodates all traditions, cultures, religions and beliefs. The SDLP continues as ever to have at its heart that vision of a new and united Ireland, and we have never changed that goal. Neither have we changed our deeply held view that this goal can only be achieved by persuading the overwhelming majority of people in Northern Ireland from both communities that this is the best way forward for them and their children. We are not in the business of sectarianism, petty nationalism or militarism. Republicanism, which should have been a term for inclusion, where all the children of the nation are treated equally, regardless of their politics, religion, race, or opinion, has been sullied by those who would force their will on others, making it the mirror image of the very conditions under which we suffered for so long. The SDLP are solely in the business of persuasion and common decency. There can be no other pathway ahead. The SDLP wants to build that new Ireland where understanding, equality, reconciliation and inclusion are principles we can pass on confidently to our children, where the tyrannies of sectarianism, hatred and conflict our repulsive memories of what we have irrevocably consigned to the past. In pursuing this, the SDLP wants to create a vibrant, forward-looking and outward-looking society which will devote all its energies to introducing progressive policies and programmes that would lead to a sustainable economic prosperity and solid social security. I am very proud of our country and I am very ambitious for her. Next year, we will face into Westminster elections, defending our three parliamentary seats and looking to grow, continue growing our vote in other constituencies. We won't get distracted by the advances of either Martin McGuinness or Mike Nesbitt seeking pacts. I can tell you now, and I've said it already, but I'll repeat it, the SDLP will be standing candidates for election in every single constituency across the North, all 18 of them. And we'll be armed only with the quality of our candidates and our progressive politics. They won't be based on sectarian self-interest. I'm already working South Belfast, fighting the election with all of my energy, and Mark has been doing the same, and he's doing a tremendous job in Derry, and Margaret Ritchie is doing the same in South Down. And I don't mind telling you that if it weren't for today's conference, we would all have been out knocking doors as we have been over the last few months. In South Down, in Foyle, and South Belfast. In the Westminster election campaign, right across the North, we will reach out to voters and say quite simply, send us back to Westminster so that we can continue to do a good job there for you. Working with my colleagues, my MP colleagues, Mark and Margaret, we have voted against the ravages of the Tory cuts dressed up as welfare reform, while Sinn Féin were launching some pathetic online petitions. We stood up for the people of Palestine last month in supporting their campaign to recognise their statehood. We used the committee structures of the House of Commons to expose the hypocrisy of the On the Run letters. Margaret Ritchie has played a powerful role on the DEFRA committee, being the sole voice there of Northern Ireland farmers and fisherfolk, putting their case and ensuring that their voice is heard in Westminster. And thank you, Margaret, for that. And Mark, on the Political and Constitutional Reform Committee and in the Chamber, continually expresses and represents the party's long tradition on social justice and human rights, and thank you, Mark, for that. I sit on the Northern Ireland Affairs Select Committee, and I argue the case for local business and people's interests on issues like air passenger duty, and all the rest, and we managed to get that reduced. We always put the people of Northern Ireland first. It's the SDLP attitude. It's the SDLP way. So don't think that the SDLP will dilute our values, our policies, in favour of a pact with somebody else. The SDLP policies, principles and values are not for sale. Although much of the focus is on next year's Westminster poll, we also have to keep an eye on the next Assembly election. We may not have to wait to 2016, because if there's a successful outcome on the talks, they might need an early Assembly election to validate it. But we need to examine in the talks why we're having these talks in the first place. 7 years after the restoration of devolution, we still don't have a credible, stable, functional government in Stormont. We still have petty obstruction, argument, needling and dysfunction instead of honest compromise and reasoned progress. In what other coalition government would one minister resort to the courts to stop another minister carrying out his job? And we congratulate Mark H. Durkin for the job he's doing there. Or in what other situation would a petition of concern mechanism designed to protect minority interests become effectively a veto? I don't need to list examples of how Stormont is failing people. You all know how it's failing. You all feel, you all see it every day. Stormont is now a byword for blockage and obstruction and failure. And is it any wonder that the majority of people are switched off politics because of that? Our job now is to persuade people to vote for real change, to vote for something different, something better, and something that will work for them. Something that will put the real needs of all our people first. So in the 2016 Assembly election, or 2015 if it comes a bit sooner, we will say to the public, these are our priorities in healthcare, in education, and across all policy areas. We will cost our proposals, and we will show how they can be paid for, and we will ask for support. We will ask people for votes to deliver a new and a better agenda for government. We will develop a suite of proposals for government that are well grounded in common sense politics and that cannot be ground to a halt by the default for and against zero-sum politics of Sinn Féin and the DUP. I want to ask you quite simply and pose a few questions. Why can't we pledge that we will freeze third-level tuition fees for the lifetime of the next Assembly? Why can't we pledge that all cancer patients get fair and reasonable access to the full range of life-saving medicines that are available in Britain? Why can't we make commitment that hard-working families will get proper access to the preschool places their children need on a fair and equal basis? Why can't we ensure that development and investment is regionally balanced? Why can't we say that families will no longer have to pay for residential care for granny or granda? Why can't we give hope to young unemployed teachers by committing to reduce class sizes and opening up new job opportunities for them? There are parties and commentators who will say these objectives are undeliverable. Successive devolved governments in Scotland are able to deliver a similar legislative programme which is socially just, targets social need, facilitates economic growth, and protects the vulnerable. It is not beyond our ability to look after the needs of our people in the same way. All we need is the imagination and the commitment to make it happen. We can do a much better job in Stormont than the DUP and Sinn Féin are doing. They have failed the public repeatedly through indecision and invective. We have shown through the actions and decisiveness of our minister, Mark H. Durkin, before him Alec, and before him Alec again Margaret, as ministers. We have shown that we can do it and do it well. As the party with responsibility for the environment, we have made that work for the economy. We have made bold decisions on planning for major projects. We have protected the natural habitat in Fermanagh and elsewhere. And we have used our position within the executive to promote better policies and quicker decisions. We can deliver in a much better way for the benefit of all who live here. That is our track record, and that is our future promise. In Dublin, a couple of weeks ago, some of you were able to join us at a very special lunch paying tribute to Dr. T.K. Whittaker, a man from Rostrevor who is regarded as one of the great architects of modern Ireland. At that time I said, if the past teaches us anything, it is that without proper structures and planning for the future, we will be doomed to repeat past mistakes. This is the lesson that I take from Dr. Whittaker, who over half a century ago was wise enough to see the stagnation of past argument and to realise that the future was about how best to positively use the vital resources of the nation, which was then and is now her young people. The SDLP has always and will always stand with people for stability, peace, social and economic justice, and the common good. It should be remembered that the overwhelming majority of people from both communities in Northern Ireland held and continue to hold these ideals and refuse to be part of the lunacy that threatened to drive us all into civil war. These people are still out there and will still give their votes to achieve our objectives if we can show that we're capable of implementing the policies, these policies of ours on their behalf. However, we must ask them for that vote. Conference today, I have set out a vision for our party, a new vision on how we can create better politics, how we can build a fairer economy built on the principles of no one left being left behind, and how we can create a new SDLP built on our proud legacy, but looking to a new generation who can and will make Northern Ireland a better place. Together, if we do all this, we can restore people's faith in politics and get government working again. Go raibh míle maith agaibh.